Event Report 02. Hello again. Thank you for being here with me once more. I hope you are very well today. I am Marie. Welcome to my channel. I take my information very seriously, and for whoever has eyes to see. I am writing this on the morning of December 12, 2024. This is a direct continuation of the first part, Space News 53, Event Report 01. That first evening I spent on board the Starship Alcyon with Captain Goriel and his crew was hard on me, because before I could retire to my new room, and even though I was feeling very sick, I had to debrief him, his first officer, Maxel, his surgeon in chief, Ware, and four other military leaders under Goriel's command. I had to tell them all I knew about what was going on board the Starship Sardaukleia as best as I could. They were especially interested in learning as much as they could about the supposed pathogens on board, and who exactly got what symptoms, among the Sardaukleia's crew members. When the debriefing was finally over, I was accompanied to my very small Spartan private room. Goriel and Maxel entered my room with me, to explain how the door worked. They told me that the door push buttons no longer worked, as they only make an air escaping sound when they are pushed, not having enough air pressure to move the pneumatic sliding doors. As the problem was hard to fix, and compromised many pneumatic doors on this level of the ship, their maintenance crew had opted to install manual levers on the floor, which you had to pump several times to get the air pressure high enough to move the doors open. There was another improvised lever on the other side of the door in the passageway. Goriel and Maxel continued, and in case of an emergency, there is a fire axe behind this panel, which they opened to show me. Then full of Tagetan medicine for my stomach and intestine problems, as well as two different kinds of painkillers that honestly I did not feel worked at all, I tried to rest in my new little room, until I noticed to my dismay that the sliding doors had long, floor to top, transparent windows. Using whatever little energy I had left, which I felt was nearly none, I went up to the door and hung a small blanket and some of my clothes to cover the windows. I needed my privacy. My little room was small, 4x4 meters plus a small bathroom. The window was small, 40 centimeters by 90, and the glass was unbelievably thick. I later learnt that it was transparent titanium alloy 120 centimeters thick. Everything in my room was extremely rudimentary. Even my single chair was made of something I identified as cast iron with a stiff leather cushion. The ceiling had a panel missing, so I could see the ship's innards, tubing, and pipes all over. And then there was that enormous collection of ship noises which were unknown to me, and made my sleep nearly impossible, even though I was terribly tired. Those unknown noises accompanied me throughout my entire stay in the Starship Alcyon. They ranged from pressurized air through metal tubing, to a giant metal rhythmic sound very far away, and a strong magnetic pulse noise that came on and off intermittently, and honestly that was the creepiest of all the sounds. Then there was a very strong and annoying metal against metal grinding noise, together with a rolling squeaking sound that appeared from time to time for no apparent reason. I later learnt that the noise came from a huge and heavy cannon turret that was moving under where I was, only a few levels below, and on the ship's frontal underbelly. The Alcyon is a warship, so it has none of the refinements I was used to in the Sardaukleia. Even the passageways there are narrower, and lined with all kinds of tubes, pipes, and cables above and on the walls, and on every corner there is an electric box full of lights and a forest of cables and tubing coming in and out of them. Now and then by the corners, there are manholes on the floor, or on the ceiling, with ladders in them, with bright lights coming from the cylindrical opening. And unlike the Talika or the Sardiclea more recently, this ship is boiling with activity 24/7 and full of crew members busy performing their duties. The next day I walked towards the infirmary with Captain Goriel, and we passed through a place in the passageway with an air leak so pressurized that it was making such a loud noise that we couldn't hear each other speak. We got to the infirmary, and Dr. Carrez gave me the medicines that had been cooked specially to meet my requirements. Then Goriel and I walked back the same passageway, less than 5 minutes later, and there were already two crew members there, with the floor panels open and fixing the air leak. As we walked past, the two crew members stood up straight and saluted us as we passed. I was absolutely stunned to see such a level of efficiency. As we walked, I told Goriel that I had noticed that the crew saluted me as I passed, even while alone, and I told him that was not necessary. Goriel turned and looked at me with a big reassuring grin, and said, "Oh yes, it is necessary. Respect for rank is essential to maintain an efficient and loyal chain of command. You are our queen, and therefore you are the head of the Taygetan military as well. No one has more rank than you, therefore they must salute you as you pass." I was in a bit of a shock as I had never received so much respect in my entire life, much less in the Talika or Sardiclea, where familiarity and contempt reigned, from most at least, not all. Here I was being treated like the queen I am, and it was hard for me to have that sink into me, for once and for all. Later that same day, four large military shuttles from the Alcyone arrived at the hangar of Starship Sardiclea. Even if it might have not been necessary, four highly trained assault teams descended from them, together with several military armored vehicles. Suddenly, the Sardiclea was flooded with no less than 100 military personnel, some of whom started to set up a forward operating base there in the hangar deck. They lifted several tents and marked a perimeter with something that looked like sandbags and portable shield blast walls. They installed electric generator trailers and a forest of communication antennas. They installed a command and communication center in one of the tents, and behaved exactly as if they had to set up a base camp on the surface of a planet. I later learnt that this is because of their full independence protocol, where they should not need anything at all from the starship they were boarding. While some were installing the camp, the four assault teams, in full space gear, which includes helmets for isolation from possible pathogens on board, made their way to the bridge of the ship, where they relieved anyone there from their duties, and took full control over Starship Sardiclea. As they took control over the ship, the military teams from the Alcyone noticed that Sardiclea's log had not been used for several months, as there were no new entries in it. This was later reported as strongly irregular, and hinting at foul play. Then several dozen members of the teams made their way through the entire Sardiclea, taking positions in key locations like the CIC deck and the central atrium. Then the teams arrived at the medical bay where most of the crew was, mostly cocooned inside 22 of the 25 medical dry pods of the ship. It was there where they encountered their first resistance to their boarding, even though it was fully authorized by me and accepted by the remaining few people on board the Sardiclea, as they saw their display of military power as way too much, unnecessary, intimidating and even insulting. Even though I understand the feeling and the point of view of our few still standing friends on the Sardiclea, the military couldn't have acted any other way, as protocol exists for a reason, and they did not know what they could encounter on board. With typical Alcyone efficiency, Captain Goriel's medical teams, led by his surgeon-in-chief, were arrived at the Sardiclea's medical bay, or infirmary, and immediately got to work. Suddenly Sardiclea's infirmary, which before only had 3 people on their medical staff, was flooded by no less than 40 people with medical training, all from Starship Alcyone. The first thing they wanted to see was the biometric and medical data of each one of the people who were sick and in the pods, also knowing that everyone on board Starship Sardaukleia was sick, to one or another degree. Starship Sardaukleia's chief surgeon, Sane Trey, who had been in a dry pod for several hours, was up and trying to help the new arrivals. She explained that all the crew members had strong flu-like symptoms, with a strong and crippling cough, as well as an acute gastrointestinal infection, characterized by very strong abdominal pains and high fever that was congruent with salmonella, which was also causing intestinal cramps and dangerous paralysis. Dr. Ware asked to see the data on Sardaukleia's medical computers, and it was here that things started to turn strange. What Sardaukleia's surgeon, Sane Trey, was telling Dr. Ware and his team was not congruent with the medical data from the ship's computers, which in turn got their data from the dry pod's biometric sensor data, as well as from the laboratory tests that were conducted to each one of Sardaukleia's crew members. Where Sane Trey indicated salmonella, the data indicated that no contagious pathogen was found, and where she indicated a strong fever detected in each one of the crew members, the biometric readings from the dry pods indicated normal body temperature. One of Dr. Ware's medical assistants from his staff from the Alcyone walked to him and showed him the results from the pathogen scans, which were conducted using advanced medical equipment they had with them. The results were clear: there was no airborne pathogen present in the Sardaukleia, and there was no evidence of any other pathogen on board, although it was later determined that there was a strong fungus infection present in the lungs and bronchi of the people who were exposed to spores, yet this was not contagious. And later on, it was also found that a mild salmonella infection indeed was present in one of the crew members, little Yaji Sophia, yet it had not spread to anyone else. As Dr. Ware realized there was no danger to his teams, and much to the horror of Sane Trey, he ordered all helmets off. Dr. Ware then ordered everyone out of the medical dry pods immediately to initiate an alternative treatment. Sane Trey and the other few Sardaukleia crew members there, including a Hashmalim Special Forces operator, Salafile, started to get feisty and strongly opposed Dr. Ware's orders. As they started to strongly argue about what was going on and about how things should be handled, Sane Trey and her friends started to pull rank on Dr. Ware and his team, ordering them to stand down and obey them, as Sardaukleia's crew members there outranked the one of the teams from the Starship Alcyone. Dr. Ware had no option but to stand down his crew and team and report back to Goriel, Maxel, and me, who were following what was going on from the nearby Starship Alcyone. It is here that I realized that I had no choice but to make a decision that I knew would anger all my friends on board the Sardaukleia, and perhaps even turn them against me. By my orders, as Queen of Teigita, I cancelled or froze all ranks, titles, and roles of every crew member of the Sardaukleia. This was the only way I could ensure that Captain Goriel, Dr. Ware, and his staff, as well as all the other military members who boarded the Sardaukleia, could do their job effectively and with no interference from that ship's original crew. Another strong reason to resend and cancel all ranks, titles, and roles of Sardaukleia crew members came from the preliminary, bothersome conclusions Dr. Ware came to. All the evidence gathered by his medical team indicated that what was going on in the Sardaukleia was more congruent with some kind of shared-induced delirium psychosis of unknown origin. As Dr. Ware and his team continued to inform Goriel, Maxell, and I, the origin most probably came from a collective psychotic episode caused by long-term isolation inside a starship, especially because Sardaukaya's crew was so small in numbers. Yet Dr. Ware presented strong evidence of something else going on. All Taygetan military personnel, especially medical staff, are well versed and studied in astral subjects and things considered paranormal on Earth, but not in Taygeta. Dr. Ware is considered an authority on health problems that are generated from the other side, as well as the rest of his medical staff, like Dr. Carrez and Dr. Zari as well. Dr. Ware, Dr. Carrez, and Dr. Zari all insist that what was going on inside Starship Sardaukaya is strongly congruent with a strong and elaborated astral, spiritual attack conducted mainly with guided manipulation techniques from the other side and all designed to harm the victims. They all insisted that Dr. Sene Trey, as well as the other Sardaukaya crew members present there, were all very sick at that time, and all acted as if inside some kind of induced trance. As the days went by, I started to feel a lot better and I started to recover from whatever was harming me. I could start to eat more things without getting sick and my strength slowly came back to me. Fortunately, the same could be said for every crew member of the Sardaukaya, although some were progressing better than others, where DK was the one with the worst health as he was battling a strong pulmonary infection, as well as whatever was going on in the stomach and intestines. On the other hand, the person on board who was having the fastest recovery was little Yaji Sophia, who some days later was already jumping on her bed. As days went by, and after further investigations into what was going on, Dr. Ware, Dr. Carrez, and Dr. Zari, of the Starship Alcyon, came up with a verdict about what was going on. The conclusion is a psychosomatic illness generated by shared induced delirium psychosis, generated by a strong and coordinated astral attack, aimed specifically at DK and at me. The rest of the crew were only collaterals, unless new data comes up. Their bothersome official conclusion, transmitted to the Taygetan High Council in Talika City, is that all this was an assassination attempt against my life, and against DK's, probably because he supports me, and knows too much. The questions are by who, why and how. Things continue to unfold here as I write these words, everything is still in progress, and there will be more parts and more videos on this subject. In case you are wondering what the other Taygetan ships in Earth's orbit are for, well, this is your answer. To be continued. This will be all for today. As always, thank you for watching my video, and for liking, sharing, and subscribing for more. It helps this channel grow a lot. And I hope to see you here next time. With much love and appreciation, your friend, Marie.